Welcome to Chai with Manju, with your host, Dr. Manju Shen.
Thank you for joining us for a very special Chai with Manju today. We are very honored that our guest today is the well-known spiritual leader, His Eminence Shalpa Tenzing Rinpoche. After being recognized as a holy child at the age of 4 and learning from great masters, he has been teaching for over 3 decades around the world about how to live your life fully and find joy in every breath. Let's meet him, find out about his inspiring journey and also his efforts to make the world a better place. His Holiness, welcome to Boston and welcome to the show. It's such an honor for us to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. Nice to be here. Very much appreciated.
Thank you. So let's start at the beginning of your inspiring journey. As I said before, you were recognized as a holy child at the age of 4. You have learned from great masters. You have studied at Sarnath in India. Now, tell us, how did those early years shape your journey to become the person that you are today, the great leader that you are today?
Thank you so much. And I was told that from a very young age, I sort of like brought some qualities of a special child. Mm-hmm. And even when they took me to the temple, my mm-hmm. grandmother told me that I was really praying with a folded hand in front of the statues. And okay. Thereupon, you know, great masters at that time and the seniors, they recognized something about me. And then they have advised my grandmother that I must be kept very pure and take good care of their mm-hmm. child, that this is destined, you know, to lead and bring great service to humanity. Okay. So I suppose then they believe that very, very seriously, and they try to take care of me their best. And as I was mm-hmm. growing up, then they have groomed me by training in our traditional ways, mm-hmm. whenever we have to study a ritual, and we have to practice lots of sadhanas, and mm-hmm. we have to really go through this rigorous training at a very, very young age. Okay. I remember my peers, my friends, mm-hmm. when they come back from school, and mm-hmm. a regular school, modern school, they get to play outside in the garden and on the field. Mm-hmm. And for me, my grandmother and grandfather, they strictly bring me inside the room and make me read prayers and study and memorize mm-hmm. Rituals. So I used to think that, wow, my friends are really enjoying so much. I wish I have the opportunity to enjoy like that. So maybe I was shaped in that way because longing to have a happiness that they are enjoying. So always thinking about how we can achieve happiness and how we can achieve peace. So in that sense, I was really trained in Buddhist philosophy and trained in Buddhist, you know, prayers and rituals, which allowed me to truly seek inner peace, inner happiness, and seek some kind of really balanced way of living. So in many ways, I suppose, you know, these are the ways that sort of like really given me opportunity to really, you know, learn to be, you know, in that traditional way, to have some qualities of wisdom and compassion in our daily life. So, you know, it's something like that.
Yes. Now, you came to the United States first time in 1988, and then, of course, you travel the world a lot. And my question to you was, do you think there is any difference in the concept of spirituality between the Eastern and Western cultures? And if there is a difference, what is the difference?
Well, and as I was traveling all over the world, what I found is everywhere people are looking for a deeper way to relate to themselves. whether you want to call that as a spiritual way or whatever way that you would like to label it.
Mm-hmm.
And there is that very, very similar ways that everybody, you know, is raised and everybody is living. But mm-hmm. however, because of the development in modern society, in the West, there is much more sort of like openness. There is much more sort of like a free way to sort of like express their own rights.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, I suppose, you know, environmentally, and each, you know, from the Eastern and Western, they have different sort of like a conducive environment to really realize the spiritual and essence, right? Besides that, spirituality is to be natural. Spirituality is to experience natural state of our being. So in that sense, there is no difference, because no matter whether you are from East or West, if you are able to experience your natural state of being, you are on a spiritual journey. So that's how, you know, I felt here.
Now, you've written a wonderful book called How to Live Life Fully and Find Joy in Every Breath. Now, what are the three most important lessons that somebody can take away from the book and from what you teach about happiness?
Well, you know, the most important thing, you know, in my view is mm-hmm. To have a clear understanding of view. And what you believe in, and that is, you know, the base. So once you have a clear view, then you meditate on it, and then meditation is the second. Then after you are able to meditate and able to bring stability in your sort of like a view, then you act. So you bring your action. So action of compassion. So most important thing is to have a view, meditation and action intact, so that all these three things are aligned. I think there is a possibility for you to truly, you know, make difference in your lives. For instance, if you are able to generate conviction that you are not going to really be enslaved by mm-hmm. your neurotic mind or your disturbing emotions, mm-hmm. if you are driven in that way, you are not going to allow yourself to be trapped, then I think there is a possibility for you to truly renounce everything that is not going to help you on your journey and help you on your own path and help you on your life and your way of living. So that conviction is very, very important. That really brings opportunity for us to really have a very sophisticated way of living. As we are able to really renounce and generate that way with true conviction, what we develop is we develop confidence. And a confidence in the view that awareness of nowness is it. In realizing the awareness of nowness, when you are able to actualize the awareness of nowness, I think you find real clarity to relate to your thoughts, relate to your emotions, relate to your friends and relate to your environment. You become a very sensible person. So anything that you do, you will have a real compassion, which is to say everything you do, you will do it with intelligence. You will be able to apply intelligence. So I think these are the three things I would like to consider that very important for all of us to learn and have it.
Right, that's wonderful. Now, you have established monasteries around the world, and you also do a lot of retreats. Now, for example, if someone like me or millennial or even the younger millennial generation, they're always looking for spiritual guidance. Now, if someone were to come to your retreat, tell us what to expect at a spiritual retreat.
Well, first of all, I would like to tell you and tell anyone that you will become the happiest person once you come to my retreat. That is guaranteed. And then, you know, I want to tell you how and why you will be happy and happiest person when you come to retreat. Because in this retreat environment, you are in a most conducive place where you will be able to truly actualize your qualities, your essence of your being. So in that sense, in this retreat environment, in this monastic setting, you will be able to truly shine. You will be able to truly feel so like a real contentment in your being. You will not feel that you need to change yourself to become somebody else. Rather, you will be able to feel that I can be myself as I am, with having complete mindfulness in relating to my thoughts and emotions and feelings and so on and so forth. Then in this environment where you will be having the most organic food, you will be having a very holistic way of living. You will be experiencing true sense of wellness, where you will be able to take care of your physical body. You will be able to take care of your mental state. You will be able to handle your spiritual way of living. So there is no better place for you to come on this earth than come to our retreat place.
Now, what are the typical retreats like? Are they for a week, few weeks, or months? What are they typically like? Because I know I would seriously consider coming to one.
Yes, actually, in my monastery in Koppen, Kathmandu, which is known as Jalpa Monastery and Retreat Center. In this retreat center, I am now providing the most, wonderful way to live your life with modern amenities.
Okay.
Anything that you would need will be provided there. But you will be able to utilize these modern amenities with discernment. You will be able to relate to all this as on a need basis, not because you want something. You will not be craving something. Rather, you become a much more sensible person so that you will be able to truly live in a way, such a content way, without having much to say. So after all, in this retreat center, what you will have is you will have yourself for you. And most of the time, we do not have ourselves for us. We are always for something else, somebody else, somewhere
else.
So this is to bring to the center of your being.
In 2013, Nepalese government entrusted you to build a peace sanctuary at Lumbini, which is the birthplace of Buddha. And you have said that your vision is to serve for it to as a pilgrimage for the visitors of every race, creed, and color. So you are a true visionary. Now, that's a wonderful vision to have. So tell us about this peace sanctuary. And I know you are on a peace tour currently. How people can know more and join you and share that vision with you.
And ultimately, my vision is people will know more about peace sanctuary by being who they truly are. So my ultimate vision is to create this destination for every peace lovers on this earth. Because as you know, today we need peace more than ever.
Absolutely.
And we need peace in the world, and we need peace within ourselves, right? So this place that I found is very, very significant place and a very, very sacred place. Because on this ground, a kind and compassionate mother, Queen Maya Devi, gave birth to her child to express her unconditional love.
Right.
And that is very important. But at the same time, more so because she was told already year before that she will give birth to her child, but she will no longer live to see her child grow. Exactly as seers, rishis and munis were telling her, she did not live long to see her child grow, Prince Siddhartha, and become enlightened person, the Buddha as we know it today. However, I felt that she, like all the mothers of the past, present, and future, She was willing to sacrifice her life. She was willing to take her life as a role of a mother seriously and give birth to her child. And that fearless courage is exemplary, and that fearless courage is something that we need if we want to find peace. So that unconditional love is, I believe, is the foundation for lasting peace on this earth and lasting peace within. So that is very symbolic place. Today, it is rightly United Nations have designated as the UNESCO World Heritage Site. And I have traveled to many places, and I have realized that for thousands of years, a great many religious sects or religious lineages have served so well, so much, so long for humanity. And I have also seen places like Jerusalem and Bethlehem and Mecca and Medina, Ram Janam Bhumi and Golden Temple and Bodh Gaya and so on and so forth. And today, in this 21st century, unfortunately, many people are not necessarily following religious ways as much as people used to follow hundreds of years before. But at the same time, and today, and in modern society, even millennials and Gen Z are interested in a spiritual way of living. And therefore, I felt that it is very important for us to have a spiritual sanctuary where every pilgrim can come and take refuge. I envision as Davos for world peace, like a World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, World Peace Forum in Lumbini, Nepal, because Nepal is such a neutral country, peace-loving people, and a wonderful neighbor like India right next to it. So there could not be any better place to really have this kind of center where world leaders can come and find solution through dialogue, because this place is a very peaceful place. And on this place, I feel that environment itself will be able to bless the leaders and shape the discussion, because environment itself will be able to influence the person once you reach there.
Right.
So there is that kind of benefit. So I feel that this belongs to entire humanity, and I feel like I must do something to lead this and accomplish this Universal Peace Sanctuary. This is what I'm doing, and I'm working on it, and I'm traveling all over the world right now to make sure everybody becomes the stakeholder of this Universal Peace Sanctuary. Because peace is something not I can alone make it happen. You cannot make it happen alone. Few wealthy people cannot make it happen alone. Few powerful people cannot make it happen alone. But entire humanity must come together, and we must all be inspired to make this our destination for every peace lovers become reality. So I keep chanting a mantra which I have made, that is, let's make peace more fashionable than war.
Right. True, true. And I love how you put it, Davos for humanity. And thank you for sharing your vision with us. Thank you for sharing your three lessons of happiness. And, I love what you said, that find joy in every breath. So thank you. We wish you all the best. And we hope to see you back in Boston again very soon. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Very much appreciated. Thank you.